All right, so welcome back, everyone, for another deep dive. Today, we are tackling Joshua chapter 16. Buckle up, because this one is all about the Israelites, you know, dividing up the promised land. And we're going to see how it connects with our lives today.
Yeah, this chapter is interesting. I mean, it's more than just like, you know, who got what piece of land. It really gives us a look at like the whole process of starting a new society.
Okay, so let's back up for a second. So you've got the Israelites, right? They finally made it to Canaan. Freedom, finally, out of Egypt. Now it's time to figure out who gets what.
Yeah, exactly. And chapter 16 is focused on two of those tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh, both descendants of Joseph. And they actually get a pretty good deal.
Prime real estate. Why is that?
Well, Joseph was kind of a big deal, you know, his standing with Jacob, his dad, and ultimately with God. That gave them, you know, a boost.
So it's like inheriting the family business, but with like a divine thumbs up.
Yeah, exactly. And the text, it gets really specific. I mean, it lays out Ephraim's territory, like, in detail, you know, towns, landmarks, you name it. It's almost like an ancient deed.
It really does feel like that.
Yeah.
But there's this one thing, right? It mentions that they, well, the Ephraimites didn't totally drive out the Canaanites from a place called Gezer.
Yeah, Gezer. They let them stay. As long as they paid taxes. I guess you could say like a live and let live situation. You pay rent, you get to stay.
Right. Rent.
Yeah.
And that's where things get interesting to me. Because, I mean, on the surface, it sounds practical.
Right.
Avoid conflict, maybe even make a little money. But why didn't they finish the job? Like, what was the thinking there?
Right. I mean, was it strategy, compassion, or maybe, you know, something else? Like, were they getting a little complacent, maybe even a bit afraid? You know, the text, it doesn't really spell it out for us, and that's what's so intriguing.
It makes you wonder what they might have gained or lost by making that choice, and like what kind of impact that had down the road, even though it seemed like a small thing.
Absolutely, and that's the thing about this story. You know, it's old, but it still speaks to us because we all face those kinds of choices, right? We all have our own, you could say, promised lands, things we've been given, talents, opportunities.
And the question is, are we taking full advantage of them? Or are we, kind of like the Ephraimites, are we leaving some of it on the table? Are we settling for good enough when we could be going for, you know, the gold medal?
That's the question, isn't it? And I think that's what we're going to dive into next.
Yeah, that's the heart of it all, isn't it? It's this story is not really just about, you know, some ancient land deal. It's more like, A, how we handle what we've been given, the good and the, well, the responsibilities that come with it.
So let's bring this land allocation thing into, like, today's world. What are we supposed to learn from what Ephraim did or didn't do? Okay, so first thing is, we got to realize this inheritance, it comes in different forms, right? It could be something concrete, money, a business, a house. But it could also be those things you can't really touch. Skills, education, you know, even the people, the connections you've made.
It's like we're all given our own set of tools. And we got to figure out how to use them.
Exactly. And just like the Israelites, they had to take care of the land, make it work. We got to do the same with what we've got. Develop our skills, make smart choices with our money, you know?
Yeah. Otherwise, it's like you inherit this amazing orchard and just let the fruit rot. What a waste.
Exactly. And that's where Ephraim's story really hits home. They didn't finish the job, right? And, well, today we might call that a lack of commitment. They didn't fully embrace what they were supposed to do.
So it's not enough to just, like, go through the motions, got to give it our all, whether it's at work, you know, a personal goal, or even in our relationships.
You got it. Because cutting corners, that catches up with you. It's like you build a house on a shaky foundation. Might look okay for a while, but eventually those cracks are going to show.
Got to be thorough, pay attention, and follow through.
Exactly. And you know, that brings us to another big lesson here. Boundaries. The text is very clear about Ephraim's land boundaries. And that's not just about geography. It's about knowing what you're responsible for, knowing your limits, and protecting what's important.
So, like, setting boundaries in our own lives, right? Saying no to things that drain us, or putting limits on how much time we spend, I don't know, scrolling through social media.
Yeah. Just like those boundaries help the Israelites keep things in order, well, for us, it lets us focus on what matters, protects our well-being, helps us live more intentionally.
It's like knowing where your property line ends.
Exactly. And having the guts to say no to protect it. But here's the thing. This story also makes you think about, well, about living with people who are different. Ephraim letting the Canaanites stay, it brings up all these questions about compromise, you know, fitting in and holding on to who you are in a world where, well, there's a lot of different folks.
So it's like, it's asking, are we cool with being around people who aren't like us? Even if it means maybe bending some of our own rules, our beliefs.
Yeah.
And if so, where's that line?
That's the tough one, right? No easy answer there. But what's interesting is the text doesn't, like, judge Ephraim for what they did. It just lays it out there and lets us, well, figure it out.
Like starting a conversation, looking at it from all sides.
Right. That's what makes these ancient stories so powerful, even today. They don't give us those easy answers. They make us think, wrestle with those big questions about how to really live a life that matters.
Okay, so we've been talking about, you know, taking ownership of what we've been given, setting those boundaries, and figuring out how to live alongside people who might see things differently. But, like, how do we actually put all this ancient wisdom to work in our lives today, you know, with all the craziness going on?
Yeah, that's the key, right? And I think, first, we got to admit, things are pretty wild right now. Just like the Israelites had their stuff, we've got our own 21st century chaos. I mean, think about it. We're bombarded with information, pulled in a million directions, a zillion choices to make. It's easy to get lost in all that, to lose track of what really matters.
Totally. So how do we not drown in all that noise? How do we stay true to, you know, ourselves and what we believe in the middle of all that?
It's tough, no doubt. But Ephraim's story, I think, gives us some clues. First off, it reminds us to be choosy. Like, Ephraim had to weigh the good and bad of letting the Canaanites stick around in Gezer. We have those choices every day. Where do we put our time, our energy, our money, you know?
So it's being intentional, not just, you know, going with the flow, but actually making decisions.
Exactly. And to make those good decisions, well, we got to know ourselves, our values, what we're aiming for, what we believe in, what we're willing to bend on, and what we're absolutely not giving up.
Like having a compass to keep us on track.
That's it. And that compass, it comes from what we value, what we believe in, those things that drive what we do, how we act. But Ephraim's story also reminds us, even with the best intentions, we mess up. We hit roadblocks. We might even find ourselves, you know, compromising on things we thought we wouldn't.
It's not about being perfect then. It's more about, I guess, learning as we go from the good and the bad.
Yeah, absolutely. And giving ourselves a break. Realizing that growing is a process, and sometimes those screw-ups, well, they teach us the most. Remember, Ephraim's decision maybe wasn't the best, but it wasn't the end of the world either. They still became a strong tribe, you know, with influence.
So it's not about beating ourselves up over the past, but using it, even the tough parts, to, I guess, get stronger, bounce back.
Exactly. And I think that's really the most hopeful part of this story. It's saying, hey, we're all on this journey, figuring out what we've been given, dealing with life's crazy stuff, and trying to become, well, the best version of ourselves. And yeah, it's not always easy, but it's worth it.
You said it, a journey of discovering, of growing, and finding our place in all of this. And hey, maybe along the way, we'll even pick up some wisdom from the Israelites.
Yeah.
You know, their trip to the Promised Land, it was messy sometimes, but always interesting.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, their story, it happened ages ago, but it's still talking to us today, giving us wisdom, challenging us, maybe even, you know, giving us a little pat on the back as we figure out our own paths.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into Joshua chapter 16, I want to leave you with this. What's your land? What talents, what resources, what opportunities are you sitting on? And what can you do right now, today, to really make the most of them, to go after your own journey with, you know, guts, purpose, and a willingness to learn and grow along the way.
Until next time, keep exploring, keep asking those questions, and keep looking for that wisdom that helps us live lives that, well, that have meaning and purpose.